Item number 18, public hearing. Dirk Sanford requests a license to locate 2-pound nets in Chesapeake Bay near the Bay Bridge Tunnel in Haven Inlet. Mr. Travis said.
Mr. Dirk Sanford has applied for 2-pound net locations on the southern shore of Chesapeake Bay. They're depicted on the chart on the screen. You'll see that one net is here, the other is here, and after this agenda item, you will consider a request from Mr. Gregory to locate his pound net here. Just for reference, this is the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. The small boat channel through the bridge tunnel complex. This is Lynn Haven Inlet and the marked channel entrance and exit from Lynn Haven Inlet. You'll recall a few months ago there were requests from Mr. Sanford to locate his nets to the east of this channel toward Cape Henry. Those requests were denied. There doesn't appear to be anywhere in Virginia Beach where you can place a pound net and not receive considerable negative comment from the public on shore, the public who uses these waters recreationally. But in an effort to, because Mr. Sanford had been previously denied, we suggested that he meet with staff in the hopes that we could perhaps provide him with some assistance in finding a more acceptable location. I'm not sure that we've done that, but that's your decision here today. At the time we wrote the staff evaluation, we had received 11 letters, all in opposition to Mr. Sanford's proposal. They were received from a number of property owners on the shore, civic associations, neighborhood associations, and the like. The letters that I just handed out to you, there are an additional 41 letters, 7 of which are in favor of the proposal as presented, and 34 in opposition. Again, most of the opposition, and you can read the individual letters. In general, the opposition has expressed concern about the effects the nets will have on recreational uses of the waters in these areas. Expressions are concerned about safety for small vessels. Again, the fact that the nets may result in dead fish fouling the beaches along the shore, and obviously increased potential harm to marine life. There is a letter from Mr. Swingle from the Virginia Aquarium, who again expresses opposition to the nets because they pose an additional threat to bottlenose dolphins and sea turtles. Mr. Swingle is further recommending that if the nets were approved, that they the leaders of those nets be modified to prevent continuing stress on turtles and dolphins. I'm sure you're aware that there is a federal rule that's been in place for a number of years now that requires these modified leaders on pound nets to the west and north of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel up to a line, an east-west line at the level of Object Bay. So nets in those areas must have these modified leaders. The modified leaders, instead of consisting of netting all the way to the surface, consist of a series of vertical stringers that are, I believe, about 3 feet apart, that allow turtles and dolphins to pass through the leader without becoming entangled, and they appear to be fairly effective. In case you can't read the distances, and I pretend to look like you can, here is about 500 yards from the shoreline. What we suggested to Mr. Sanford and Mr. Gregory when we met with them is if they identified this as good fishing grounds. That's number one criteria, obviously, for them. We suggested they stay as far offshore as possible, but remain inside of a line that would connect this small boat channel with the end of the Mark Channel into Lynn Haven Inlet, assuming that boaters coming from either direction would traverse in a fairly straight line from those two points. If they were beyond that, we would have obvious concerns about navigation. If they were inside of 500 yards to the beach, we had concerns that they would affect kayaking and small sailboats and the like along the shore. Remember, the last proposals from Mr. Sanford had the nets within 500 feet of shore. So they've now tripled that distance in an effort to appease the folks that are using the near shore. Nonetheless, you know, we still have quite a bit of expression of concern about the nets in this area and the effect that it will have on jet skiers and sailboaters and the like. The applicants also, in an effort to minimize the impacts to turtles and dolphins, have expressed some interest in using the modified leaders to protect the turtles and dolphins. I would, if you're inclined to approve these nets, I think you should talk to the applicants today about that possibility. I would also tell you that if the nets are approved, they would unlikely result in further discussions at the federal level, potentially about applying the modified leader requirement to all pound nets east of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. So it would potentially apply not only to these three nets, but to Mr. Hyonis's nets that are east of Lynn Haven Inlet. If the federal agencies don't react, then I would tell you that the staff here will consider bringing you a regulation that would require modified leaders for all pound nets in this area. We're not prepared to make that recommendation here today. We want to wait and see what the take reduction teams at the federal level decide on this issue, and we will report back to you. I guess it's a question of fairness here today, whether you mandate modified leaders on Mr. Sanford and Mr. Gregory today as a condition of approval, and yet we have other pound nets at Cape Henry right in and amongst the dolphins and have been identified as resulting in dolphin mortalities, and not have those nets also be required to have the modified leaders. I think the way to do that is through regulatory process.
Yeah, I think the wiser course of action, that's getting the cart before the horse anyway, but it's a good idea that you bring it up just so that the knowledge is out there. But I would be of the opinion that we address all of them at one time, but at least if these are approved today, they are on notice, and it won't be any surprise that may be possibly coming down the pipe, just as the other people are. You know, may know that through the grapevines anyway.
So I guess the bottom line of staff is we are recommending approval on the basis that we've tried to minimize impacts to the public by keeping the nets as far offshore as is reasonable, as far inshore to avoid that traffic lane. We've tried to stay as far away from Cape Henry. As you get to Cape Henry, you obviously encounter more and more dolphins. There are going to be dolphins in this area as well, but again, the modified leader, I think, will address that. And then it becomes a question of, who's entitled to be there? The sailboaters and the recreational fishermen and the kayakers or the fishermen?
Or both.
And can they both, survive with the nets in place then?
Okay. I was out of the room for a minute. Y'all will be taking both of them at the same time, basically, since they're part and parcel of the same presentation. What's your suggestion?
We could do that.
That way it would save.
I have no.
Let me ask the applicants. I think that would probably be. Mr. Sanford and Mr. Gregory, is it okay if we take them both at the same time?
He's got two applications and I got one. It's y'all's call. We're at the mercy of y'all anyway. I don't want it to sound like that, but, that's the way it is.
You end up with the side different.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
And make sure that.
Okay.
Is there any reason that these.
Focus on that one.
Absolutely. Okay, what I'd like to do first is hear. Do you have any more, Mr. Travel said?
I'll just point out that I have no additional public comment to give you on the Gregory, but the thicker package that I handed to you, in general, the comments are to all three nets.
Okay. All right, let's hear from Mr. Sanford first, if you'd like to address the commission. And good afternoon, sir.
My name is Dirk Sanford. I really don't have much comment other than the fact that the guess what you call the dog leg in the channel has been changed, and I believe, I'm not positive, but I believe that the entrance buoy has been moved farther offshore, so it wouldn't appear that this offshore net is in the line with the small bed channel and the Haven Inlet.
Okay.
That's pretty much what I have to say right now.
Any questions of Mr. Sanford? Mr. Tankard.
Yes, sir. My question to you, Mr. Sanford, is with regard to the leaders, would you contemplate using those in this circumstance?
I honestly, my opinion is it's a good idea. I'm not sure if they necessarily work for the bottlenose dolphin. I know there's an experiment now, but I'm not sure if it's going to work. I'm all for it if it works. I think it's a great idea. It cuts down on the price of webbing and makes everything a lot simpler. I'm willing to do it if it works. I'd like to be able to look in more into it, and I'm willing to, maybe one of these nets put an experimental leader on it just to see if, that will help out.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Sanford.
Thank you.
Mr. Gregory? Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, sir. My name is Charles Gregory. I'm applying for an application for a trap. I previously had an application to the east of the inlet, but Mr. Sanford came up here last year and was rejected. I talked to Mr. Travelstead. My best interest, because I had a snowball's chance down there, was to move my net. I asked for a meeting, private meeting with the commission to work out an area where it would be best for everybody's interest. New under conflict with the porpoise, with the Marine Science Museum, with BIMS. So we come to the conclusion this would be a good area. I'm willing to put up a modified leader if that's the only reason that I can get my net. But in the same aspect, that area, there's no laws or rules or regulations pertaining to a modified leader. I feel also that if the three nets there are decided upon and we do have to put the modified leaders, I think all nets east of the bridge should have to go with the same law. That's about all I got to say.
Okay. Any questions, Mr. Gregory? Thank you, Mr. Gregory.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here in support of these nets? Mr. Palmer? Anything?
Hi, my name is Joe Palmer from Virginia Beach. I've been a commercial fisherman in that area for 30 years. I'd like to say a couple of things about the nets. First of all, there's historical precedent for nets being in that area. Billy Dunn had nets there, and Heath had nets there back in the 70s and 80s when I was crabbing out in what's now the sanctuary. Actually, we'd get bait from them as they were bailing them out of the nets. Because it's not the first time a net has been in that area. There are new homeowners there, though, who don't want to see something that used to be there. I wrote a comment down over here on my piece of paper. Everybody hates a pound net until they need bait. I've gone to a lot of meetings. I've heard CCA people speak against pound nets, about the catching pound nets, and what they should be throwing back. And then cobia season would come along. Once cobia season came along, those same people that would stand up here and scream about pound nets were standing at the pound net dock saying, "Can I buy bunkers? Can I buy bunkers? Can I buy this? Can I buy that?" So you know, everybody hates a pound net until actually they need what's coming out of the net, and they like you. I went out with Kenny Etheridge quite a few times when he was pound netting before he sold to Dimitri. And all the times I went out there, I saw two or three dolphins that were hung in the lead. But every dolphin that I saw was long dead before it hit that lead. It floated into the lead and got tangled in there. It never got into the lead itself and died. And you can see slash marks on them where they've been hit with props, stuff like that. So I don't think the nets really are detrimental to dolphins, to be very honest with you, from my personal experience and things that I've seen. I'm in support. I think they should get the nets. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Any questions of Mr. Palmer? Thank you very much. Who's next? Mr. Smith, for the record, how about coming on up and restating your comments just so I can have the record perfected, please, sir?
Yes, sir. Ken Smith, representing Virginia Waterman, and we are supportive of these three nets.
Thank you, sir. Who's next? Chris? Mr. Ledford? Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Commission members, Honorable Commissioner, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. My name is Chris Ledford, and I want to take a few minutes of your time and share with you why I believe you should grant approval to both of the applications of Mr. Sanford and Mr. Gregory for pound net locations west of Inlandhaven Inlet. First, I want you to know that I served as one of two representatives of Virginia Commercial Fishermen on the bottlenose dolphin take reduction team from 2000 to 2002, from the time it started until the first rules were finalized. I still receive correspondence from NOAA and NIMS regarding this group and from the representatives of the group, the mediators, regarding this group, and I do anticipate it convening again in the near future. This group was formed at the request of the federal government under the direction of Congress to address commercial fishing and its impact on the Marine Mammal Protection Act. Over 10 meetings took place between environmentalists, fishermen, and government representatives in cities from Wilmington, North Carolina to Baltimore, Maryland. At no time during each of the 3 to 4 day meetings were pound nets in Virginia brought up as a gear that needed to be scrutinized in an effort to reduce dolphin mortality in fishing gear or reduce the risk of possible dolphin interactions in fishing gear in the initial stages of those meetings. Furthermore, the only documented takes of bottlenose dolphins in commercial gear attributed to Virginia fishermen actually occurred in North Carolina waters by a vessel that left from and returned to a Virginia port. The final rules implemented by this group relating to Virginia fisheries focused on large and medium mesh gill nets only. To this date, no confirmed dolphin mortality, to my knowledge, has been linked to pound nets, and the only interactions have been animals already dead, which were swept into pound nets by the tide, and may have never been observed otherwise. Next, I want you to know that the safety of navigation in this area could possibly be enhanced by these nets, just as it is done by those on the eastern side of the inlet. It is my opinion and the opinion of others that these nets create a de facto no-wake zone, which keeps boaters at a slow speed when running parallel to the beach. This situation has averted many vessel collisions and vessel swimmer accidents by keeping the speed of boats down while transiting to and from the beach during warmer months. In my lifetime as a resident of this area and my professional career in public safety, I've witnessed almost all the injuries and vessel collisions around Lynnhaven Inlet to have occurred on the western side due to the open area crowded with swimmers and boats very close to the shore. It is interesting that very few, if any, such accidents have occurred on the eastern side, which is crowded with both active and inactive pound net sites. I will say that there have been vessels that ran into or got tangled in the pound nets on the existing pound nets on the eastern side, but oftentimes just individuals were found to be intoxicated or limited experience on the water. Thirdly, I would like to share with you that I have been president of Bayville Park and Garden Civic League from 1999 until this past year of 2008. My neighborhood is a community very near the inlet and the beach in question. I also served as its representative on the Shore Drive Community Coalition since its inception. I do want you to know that I am not speaking on behalf of either group today, although I would like to point out a few of the efforts that I became aware of while serving on these committees. By the city, and other groups to enhance the commercial fishing industry of Lynn Haven Inlet, but have fallen well short of the original goals. One example is the Waterman's Walk area on the east side of the inlet, where shops, restaurants, and commercial fish docks were to be mingled together, much like those of San Francisco or Seattle. My point is that the beleaguered fishermen and buyers of this area and the entire state are suffering from lost fisheries and waterfront due to regulations and development, respectively. These pound nets would employ fishermen, fish packers, and supply fresh local fish for the area restaurants. I simply do not understand why the communities cannot coexist with these fishermen like they do the ones operating barely a mile to the east. I have yet to witness an uprising of opposition to those nets. Lastly, I would ask the Commission to look at these individuals as a bellwether of where Virginia working watermen are headed if their applications are denied. I have known these men for over 20 years, and I assure you with my word that neither asked me to be here for this public support. I am here because I know them as fellow small businessmen, taxpayers, employers, fishermen, husbands, and fathers who are trying to make a living at an industry that was the first one in the Lynn Haven Inlet area and Virginia Beach. Again, I humbly request that you grant these applications and give these men and their industry another chance. I will also be glad to answer any questions you may have about me or any of the information that I provided for you today in regards to this matter.
Thank you, Chris. Any questions from Mr. Ludford? Thank you. Is anyone else in support of this? Yes, sir.
Yeah, my name is Mark Sanders, and I'm hoping that you pass this. I'm a crab potter at this time, and with the recent restrictions that you placed on crab potting, I'm looking for this as an employment opportunity for me and my mate on my boat. So basically, that's all I just want to say.
Thank you very much. Anyone else in support? Anyone in opposition? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Mr. Chairman, my name is Mike Wills. I'm president of the Ocean Park Civic League, and I represent approximately 1,500 residents in the Ocean Park area of Virginia Beach. And I'm here today because I was kind of surprised to see that the staff was in support of this particular location. I can appreciate their work in looking for a location, trying to help the fishermen find a place that's suitable, but this simply is not it. It's not the Eastern Shore. This area of Virginia Beach here, Longshore Drive, is the most densely populated area in all of Virginia Beach by residential residents. This area, I don't know how familiar staff is with it during the summertime, but if you go out there, you'll see it's a recreational mecca. I mean, it's used by kayakers, swimmers, water skiers, jet skis, catamarans, kite surfers, wind surfers, the whole nine yards. These nets are going to be in direct impediment to traffic of sailors, boaters, everybody back and forth. It's just going to be a navigational hazard. It's going to create accidents. There's no doubt about it. There probably hasn't been accidents on the east side because there's so many, you know, pound nets there. It's impossible to navigate, you know, anywhere around there and engage in recreational activities. But this place, like I said, is a mecca for it during the summertime. And I'm really concerned that these are going to be a tremendous hazard. By no means against commercial fishermen. In fact, there's commercial fishermen out there working this area all the time. You know, they're out there at sun up probably, and they're putting their nets out and pulling in fish, and they're gone by lunchtime. So it's not a problem. We're just opposed to this particular kind of commercial fishing. We feel it's incompatible with the area. And like I said, it's going to be a tremendous safety hazard for boaters. This 1,500 feet is directly right in the navigation area. At low tide, I mean, it's 1 to 2 feet out there, you know, within a thousand feet of the beach. I mean, you can walk out there. You know, in fact, there's a sandbar that runs pretty much right into that first trap over there that people walk out there all the time. And so you got to operate your boats out there beyond that 1,000 feet, really, if you want to do any kind of water skiing or tubing and things like that. That's about it. There was one other point I forgot, just slipped my mind, but anyway, I mean, the precedent setting here, I mean, you got an application that hasn't even been approved yet, and you already got somebody else here piggybacking onto it, trying to put a pound net in right next to his. So what are you going to do when, you know, three or four more people say, okay, well, this is a great spot, and, you know, we want to throw pound nets in there? So it's just, it's going to look like the east side, and it's going to just be impossible to, you know, have any kind of recreational possibilities here. And this is one of the few places we can access. You got bases to the left, bases to the right of us. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of opportunities for people to go to the beach and enjoy it. The ocean front's overrun by tourists, and you can't operate PWCs there or launch your sailing craft from the beach down at the ocean front. So this is one of the few areas that we have. So I hope that you'll deny this application.
Any questions of the gentleman? Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Anyone else in opposition? Yes, sir.
Evening, Commissioners. My name is Bob Costello. I'm the Secretary of the Chesapeake Beach Civic League. I want to say a note first off. I personally love fishermen. I love watermen. I love what they do. I've been in the Navy. I retired after 20 years, a few years back. And the last duty station, they put me in southern Illinois at an Air Force base in the midst of farm and cornfields. And the only fish available was something that was deep fried, available on Fridays, and it had been frozen. I couldn't wait to get back to the ocean, get back to Virginia Beach, and be able to get access to the things that we love. Our Civic League does a summer picnic. A couple of years back, we added a crab picnic to that picnic, and we saw the population of people coming to that just skyrocket. We love what they do. And I understand why businessmen would want to broach the question of installing pound nets in Chesapeake Bay. Before I continue, though, you've got a letter that we submitted that's part of the evidence there from the 22nd of March. So I don't want to repeat exactly what's in that letter. I understand why the businessmen are going to ask the question, certainly. Find out what the answer is, and the worst that they're going to do is say no. This question was asked already once over on the east side, and the answer was no. What I and hundreds of my neighbors would like to know is what exactly has changed? What's made the VRMC staff say that the answer is now yes rather than no? Why? I really don't understand why the recommendation is for approval. Is there new science?
I think the distance Mr. Travelstead indicated was a lot of it had to do with the distance off the beach.
For recreational use. The primary reason, and it's summarized in our letter, that the members of the Civic League were opposed had to do with the concerns that were expressed by the aquarium, marine mammals and sea turtles. I don't know if the new modified leaders is really going to reduce that or not. The distance offshore probably isn't going to change with regard to that. Another question that I and my neighbors would like answers: why is the acceptable location, the new location acceptable? You said it's for further offshore. I bought my house in Chesapeake Beach 22 years ago, and it may be true that in the 70s and 80s there were more pound nets there. And in fact, as the gentleman stated, there's been an increased density building up on the north end of Virginia Beach and Chesapeake Beach and the neighboring communities for years. Those of us who have lived there a long time, I can't say that we're always happy with the results of that, but we get more and more people in that community, and we have more and more people outside of that community using the beach. 22 years ago, people from outside of our area would park right outside the beach accesses in order to get to the beach. I live actually four blocks off the beach. Every weekend now, as soon as it's warm enough, we have cars that are backed up all the way to where I'm at, four blocks back, of out-of-resident personnel who go to that beach to use the beach for recreational purposes. It may be a good idea for the businessmen, and the location may be something that's convenient to them, but is the convenience to the businessmen an acceptable reason to take this on versus the risk to recreational boaters that will be exponentially increased with the nets placed where they're at? We'll avoid some of those wave riding vehicles with them placed out further where they're at. But I personally sailed the Chesapeake Bay. Thank you. I've sailed the Chesapeake Bay about 50 times in the last 22 years. I'm not a fisherman, but my brother-in-law is, and he loves the fishing around the Bay Bridge Tunnel. He swears it's the best fishing in the bay. What does he do? He puts his boat in the water over here, Lynn Haven Inlet, and he heads over to fish outside of the ship of the boating channels. He fishes over there off the Bay Bridge Tunnel. He's going to end up having to dodge these things every time he goes in and out to do his fishing. And I know a couple of dozen other people that love fishing out there. There's others like me who just like sailing out there. Aren't there some other areas along less populated beachfronts, shoreline, that these things could be located in Chesapeake Bay to provide the businessmen with the livelihood they need and yet not have the impact on these highly populated areas of beachfront? That's the real question that I think that needs to be asked with regard to these. I know that if my wife and I wanted to go and ask the city to take one of the empty lots in our neighborhood, despite the rise in density, there's still some empty lots given the economic downturn. If we wanted to ask them to rezone one of these residential lots into an office so that my wife could open her CPA firm there and I could have my telecommunications business there, we wouldn't get a single vote at the Planning Commission. The City Council would throw us out. They'd say, you're wasting our time. And matter of convenience should be a deciding factor on acceptance of these. Aren't there some other locations that perhaps are more inconvenient to the businessmen, but nevertheless are away from a populated area like this? That's what I would ask you to consider. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Yes, sir.
Commissioner and members of the commission, thanks. My name is Mark Swingle. I'm with the Virginia Aquarium. I was here a couple of months ago and spoke to you all, and what I have to say today will not be a lot different. I do want to qualify something just on a personal note. I'm going to walk over to your map here, but just so you understand that I do understand a little bit about the area, I actually grew up right there a couple of blocks off the beach, and I now live right about there. And so for the last 48 years, I've lived in that area, and I understand the area very, very well. First of all, I just want to say that I provided the commission with an updated assessment of the dolphin mortalities that we've seen over the years. The last time I was here, we had some data prepared that went through 2006, and we've now updated that through 2008. And we did submit that along with our letter, so you probably have it there. But the bottom line here for you gentlemen is in the last 12 years, we've documented over 60 animals that we believe were entrapped in pound nets at Cape Henry, in the Cape Henry area. And I've heard several gentlemen come up here, including some folks that I know. Mr. Ludford and I served on the TRT together for a while. I don't believe he's still on the team at this point, but I am still on the TRT. And I have to admit, with all due respect to the fishermen that have been up here before you, I'm shocked that these gentlemen continue to say that they don't believe dolphins get entrapped in pound nets. I can tell you for a fact that, well, first of all, if you could walk up to an animal that had died, and this could be a dolphin or a human, and you could determine how it died by looking at it, then obviously the CSI programs would be pretty boring because you wouldn't have to go through all the science and the forensic part of determining how an animal may have died. But secondly, and quite dramatically, we've had a number of occasions where live animals have been caught in the gear. We've been called and often worked with the fishermen to release these animals from the gear. Had we not been called, had we not gotten to those animals while they were still alive, they would have ended up dead, and they would have been entrapped in the gear. And clearly, we're not seeing every animal that gets entangled. We're not able to get there in time for every animal. So there's no question that these nets do entrap and kill bottlenose dolphins. I mean, it's a fact. We've got quite a bit of good evidence to support that. And that is why we again, were opposed to these new nets.
We realize it's a slightly different location. It is a couple of miles away from the other nets, but we do know that dolphins traverse this area. And while we don't have a lot of mortality data from that part of the beach, the reason for that might be because there aren't any nets there. And our fear, of course, is if we put nets there, and now we have the same kind of gear in the same kind of habitat, and we know animals are traversing the area, then we're going to have the same kind of issues that come up. I also heard Mr. Travelstead talk about the idea that we might require a modified leader in these areas. This would be very, very welcome news for us. We think it is. Again, our problem, as I mentioned last time, is we're still in the middle of the experimental stage with this. We have used a couple of them out on the Cape Henry nets, but we can't force the fishermen to use them. We believe they might be a solution to this problem. We haven't proved it yet, so it's still experimental. If it was up to us, we'd love to see a regulation be in place that this type of gear be required to be used there. But the fact is that does not exist right now. These gentlemen may express an interest in doing it, but the fact is they're not required to do it. And that is why we are still opposed to this type of gear in a very similar location.
Thank you, sir. Any questions?
Okay.
Dr. McConaughey?
What's the population of dolphins that are in this area?
Okay.
I'm looking at your numbers and I'm trying to figure out, 63 over 12 years, what's the overall density of?
Are you talking about number of dolphins in Virginia?
Yeah. Virginia Beach, there's 63 dolphins that have had interactions from your data.
Right.
42 had twisted twine marks. 5 were disentangled, and 16 were found dead. I'm just kind of, what's the population size? Is it 100, 200, 1,000?
Well, it changes because it's a migratory stock, but there are thousands of dolphins in the summertime along the coast of Virginia. Now, they're not all at Cape Henry. They move around.
So, are these healthy dolphins, or are they not?
You're not talking about the population in general.
Well, yeah, interacting with the net.
And that's a very good question, because another question we get a lot is, are these dolphins already compromised? And in fact, most of the dolphins do appear to be perfectly healthy animals. They're not old. They're relatively young. You can see we have some breakdowns on there, and we do have breakdowns of gender for the animals and things like that. But they do appear to be relatively young, and many times when we find them, one of the things you look at when you're assessing an animal's health is its body condition. They often have full stomachs, so they've been feeding. So these are the kind of things that you look at when you are assessing what may have caused the death of an animal.
Further questions? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I can, Mark, the dolphins are managed under the MMPA. Is the current level of takes below the PBR right now, or is it above that?
It's the last time we met, the level of takes was below PBR, but it was not.
For the record, for those in the audience that may not know, can you say what PBR is?
Yeah, PBR is a number that's established that's based upon a population level, and that number is the number at which, if you are taking that many animals out of a population, then you're essentially endangering the ability of that population to sustain itself. So ideally, you want to be taking less animals out of the population than PBR. And in the case of marine mammals, I think that obviously you want to take as few as possible. I mean, that's the goal.
I have a question along those lines.
Mr. Bowden?
I thought PBR, with potential biological removal rate, that would allow the stock to fully expand to its level. Not a number that would cause them to decline. I mean, that's how we would.
Well, maybe I said it wrong. That's what I meant to say. In other words,
there's a big difference.
In other words, if you're taking more than that number, then the population may not be able to sustain itself and grow
to its full capacity.
Okay, to its full capacity.
So there's a big difference.
If you're taking below that number, then it can.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else in opposition?
My name is Doug Deppman. I'm a lifelong resident of Norfolk. I'm really just a layperson with an interest in marine mammal conservation. As also turns out, I happen to volunteer with Mark on the marine mammal strand team. And basically, I just want to sort of second Mark's remarks about a concern of voluminous dolphin takes in the nets, and really point out that my experience with Mark and the strand team is the numbers they've given you on those takes are very conservative numbers. And they say they found a take, or they believe an animal's been killed in one of these nets. They are erring very much on the conservative side. They do their evaluations of data, and then they do the necropsies. One of the other comments, there was some talk about the PBRs here. One of the other goals that, I'm not sure how successful anybody's been in making it yet, but one of the other goals of the Marine Mammal Protection Act is to have a zero-rate mortality goal, which is coming up with a deadline on that. And again, I don't think three of the teams have been successful beating that, but there's another lower criteria that's coming up on the horizon in the future in addition to the PBR goals.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else in opposition? Is there anyone else that's going to speak in opposition so we can get an idea? Okay. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Todd Solomon. I'm speaking on behalf of the Shore Drive Community Coalition. We are a member organization of Shore Drive, umbrella group of the Condo Civic Association along Shore Drive, roughly 30 organizations representing 7,000 to 8,000 homes in that area. We had opposed in November the opposition to the eastern side, the applications in that area, and we're also opposing the western side. Some of the member organizations are represented here today. We are not opposed to commercial fishing in that area. We work well with the neighboring restaurants, have oyster roasts. A lot of our members support Lynn Haven River now with oyster restoration, members of the aquarium also. So we are definitely in support of commercial fishing. We just don't think these are the right tools for fishing in this area, since, as Mr. Wills mentioned, it is the most highly densely populated area in the most densely populated city in Virginia. So we think this area off of Virginia Beach should be excluded from any additional pound nets. We understand there are ones on the eastern shore, and they have been there on the eastern side of the inlet, and they have been there, and we understand grandfathering very well, as a matter of fact, with the residential developments coming in. So we understand that in order to get those removed, there is opposition to those that exist, but it would be a much tougher hill to climb. So we would like to see, obviously, no additional pound nets permitted anywhere off the coast of Shore Drive, Cape Story, and then Babel Park on the other side, Bay Lake Pines.
Any questions, Mr. Solomon?
I did also just want to, and I think one of those new letters that may have come in, I just wanted to make sure that you did dict Delegate Bouchard's letter.
I intend to read that into the record.
Okay, great, terrific. And one more item of note. The fact, I believe you've actually taken from the eastern side, which is pretty dense to begin with, and moved it even in a more area that's even more densely, as far as usage. There is the boat ramp, I'm sure you're familiar with, the beach, the public beach right underneath it is heavily used. And there's also a Hobie Cat, basically a beach access that allows the Hobie Cats to get on and off on that side also. And it is heavily used.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
My name is Steve Kohler. I live in Chesapeake Beach. While the VMRC staff may be recommending approval of additional new nets at these sites with the rationale that these sites are a better location than those denied in fall 2008, it still does not make these good or acceptable locations. Given the information about both dolphin mortalities and the impact on citizens' recreational use of the area of the bay, these nets would be new encroachments to this area of the bay, which people in this area did not expect when they moved here. Even though they are further away from the beach than the nets proposed last fall, recreational boating traffic still will be impacted. However, from a personal standpoint, I am more concerned with the dolphin mortalities and impacts on other marine life. Given that this area is heavily traveled by dolphins, especially in the path of the proposed nets, which combined will stretch a total of 2,400 feet from north to south with a relatively small area between them, it is inevitable that more dolphin mortalities from these nets will occur. While I understand that the proposal for new nets is contingent upon the use of a modified leader, at this time there is a lack of conclusive evidence that the modified leader is effective at reducing dolphin mortality, based on my understanding. Based on my reading of the transcript from the November 25th, 2008 VMRC meeting, five dolphin mortalities were reported in the year that the experimental leader was used. As you know from the Virginia Aquarium's March 2009 letter, there have been 60 documented dolphin mortalities during the past 12 years, which works out to an average of 5 per year when the experimental leader was not used in most of those years. Based on this information, there is definitely a lack of conclusive evidence that the experimental leaders are effective at reducing dolphin mortalities. With your role as stewards of Virginia's marine and aquatic resources and protectors of its tidal waters and homeland for future and present generations, I believe that more concrete information is needed that these different leaders do in fact reduce dolphin mortalities. At this early stage, it seems to me that there is no difference. In my opinion, this is too important a decision to make before this data of effectiveness is available. It has been stated in previous hearings related to proposed pound nets that this type of fishing has been conducted since the early 1900s. While I understand the applicant's position, times change and it's frightening to think where we'd be if this logic was applied to other regulated industries. There could still be 14-gauge aluminum wire being put into houses, no seatbelts in cars, and no FDIC if this logic was applied. This is a very different area from when the first pound nets were established with much more recreational activity. We also know much more about the impact these pound nets have on marine life. Approving these pound nets with the knowledge that we now have about their impact is not in the public's best interest. I ask that you not take the risk of allowing additional pound nets in this area of the bay and that you deny these requests. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Oh, I'm sorry. What?
Could I have a chance to come back up there?
It's been a long day. Yes, please.
Thank you. I just like to point out a few things. I'll be very short. Next to the inlet, there's a sandbar that runs out to the west, and you're even at high tide, boats are unable to cross over to that, so it's very unlikely. There's a sandbar that comes all the way out here, even at high tide, it's very unlikely that a boat could come outside the inlet, even at night, and make it across the sandbar. So they're not going to run straight to the channel and hit these nets. They're going to have to go outside to the entrance buoy and then go towards the bridge. Second of all, I also like to point out that most of this beach down here is private beach. I believe the city acquired 3/4 of a mile to a mile from the inlet, right from here to there, which is it's public beach, but there's a very limited parking there, so it's not heavily used. Most of this beach is used by residents of this area. It's not where you get, like, the oceanfront where you got the strip. You got tourists coming down there. There's no hotels there where there's going to be a bunch of people on the beach. And that's basically it. If this is approved, I would like Mr. Swingle to know that I would like to work with him and Vims in trying to improve some kind of leader that would help. Just not just me, but everybody else is down there.
Thank you. Mr. Gregory, would you like to speak?
Yeah, I just like to clarify something. In the city of Virginia Beach from May 15th to September 15th, there's swimming regulations in effect for 50 yards from the beach. It's unlawful to swim more than 50 yards off the beach, and there's also laws stated about running recreational or any motor vessel, powered motor vessel, parallel to the beach within 300 yards of the beach. It's got to maintain a minimum no wake speed for pedestrians, reasons for the swimmers and all. You know, everybody's saying about the traps being a navigable hazard, but it's just like driving your car. You're responsible when you're behind the wheel.
Thank you.
May I address your comments?
No, sir.
No, I'm sorry.
We received a letter yesterday. You didn't read this while I was out of the room, did you? From Delegate Joe Bouchard. It says, Dear Deputy Commissioner Travelstead, I'm writing in response to February 24, 2009, Virginia Marine Resources Commission notice of applications for Mr. Dirk Sanford, Mr. Charles Gregory, to site new pound nets in the area between the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel and Cape Henry. The location is questioned lie off the shore of the 83rd District of the Virginia House of Delegates, which I represent. New pound nets in the area would pose a significant risk to bottlenose dolphins, which are not endangered but are federally protected, and juvenile loggerhead sea turtles and Kemp's Ridley sea turtles, both of which are listed as threatened or endangered by the United States Endangered Species Act. Also of great concern, the area between Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel and Cape Henry is an area of intense recreational use due to its location adjacent to the residential population of Virginia Beach and a significant tourism industry on the Chesapeake Bay shore of Virginia Beach. Pound nets are not compatible with recreational fishing, boating, coastal watercraft use, kayaking, and other activities conducted in this area. Finally, I strongly encourage you to consult with the U.S. Navy regarding training activities that may be impacted by these pound nets. If you have further questions on this matter, you can reach me. Sincerely, Joe Bouchard, Virginia House of Delegates. Now the matter is before the Commission for discussion and action. Mr. Bowden?
I want to start a little bit of discussion because I'm familiar, considerably more familiar than most people, with the exception of Major Chris and Mark, with the Marine Mammal Protection Act. I was on the first team, was Harbor Porpoise. And at that time, Sharon Young tried to have bottlenose dolphin included in the plan and decided against it because they weren't a strategic stop. What moved them forward into that was the die-off that they had due to fact far beyond commercial fishing. And at that time, they estimated the population at 2,500 on the East Coast, which we all know was wrong. When Jack Music comes out and takes the fisherman's side, you know something's wrong. He said, you know, it's at least 10 times that. And he's right. We know it's high. PBR was set so they can reach the maximum potential. If not, so they don't get in danger or threatened or anything, is the maximum potential. The zero mortality business, you have to take into account the economic of the fishery also. So that's one part you neglected to say. You do take into account the economic of the fishery. I just wanted to kind of get people all on the same page because I'm aware of all the marine mammal stuff, and I know a lot of these other people aren't. We've been well below PBR in the state of Virginia, the whole northern range from Virginia. Virginia Beach is the one exception because they have a certain part of the southern stock that's over winters and stuff off of the Virginia Beach area. So it's a little different than where I'm at. There are going to be a lot of causes for these. If this is not real representative of the pound net fishery having these so many takes in one area, it could be for a lot of reasons. One reason could be what everybody brought to high density development. The light might interfere with them. You know, they have to sleep like the rest of us. I suppose they sleep in a trance. I don't know that. But, you know, they have to sleep somehow. So I'm sure that they're more or less, because they still have to breathe. They can't go to the bottom, or you wouldn't have to worry about them staying intact. You know, pound nets has been around forever. Some of these gentlemen said he's lived here for 20 years, 50 years or something. I lived on the same street for 50-some years. I lived in the same town. I know where my relatives are buried within a five-minute walk of my house for the last 300 years. You know, I am a commercial fisherman. I've never pound netted, never been on a boat that pound netted. My father did it back in the 20s in the ocean. It was a real big fishery. It was hundreds of traps, every inlet, and a lot of places where there wasn't an inlet, they launched boats right off the beach with using draft horses pulling them out on pulleys to a pole. It's not something new. I have to say we've had a lot of people move in the state of Virginia. And sadly, everybody wants to live by the water, which I can't blame them. It's a beautiful place to live. But there's a lot of negative effects. And a lot of them are coming down the pipes to this now. You know, water quality is deteriorating. And I think all of us deserve some of the blame for that. So really, to think that these pine nets is really going to be real adversely affect the environment in general, I can't see it. The sad thing is, when you have scientific experiments like Mr. Swiggle's having now,
you sacrifice animals. That's the only way you really can judge efficiency of something, because you have to have a control net along with a net that has the modifications. And if the modified net doesn't entangle animals and the control net does, you certainly know that you're making some kind of significant improvement. That's the position Mr. Swiggle's in right now. He's really in the beginning of it, I suppose. I mean, if I'm wrong, please correct me. But you have to have control nets and stuff, and that's where we're at now. That's one reason the tapes are hot. Till we know the tapes were in the modified leaders. Do we know that?
There's been no tapes in the modified leaders.
So, I mean, you know,
there have been tapes in the other
people. I mean, I think we're on the right path. I really think you're on the right path, and it's going to come to fruition. And I'd have no problem making these payments, have it now. I mean, I wouldn't be against that. And basically, it may save them money. And you're confident that so far, with the information you have, that it has made a difference. So, you know, I'm certainly going to vote in favor of paying that. And I'd have no problem requiring the leaders in them. And if the take meeting is in April or May, it's very short order when you have your next meeting, isn't it?
Conference call today.
Conference call, okay. So the state can do it. If NIPS moves a lot slower than us because of the process, we can require it. Then we have to have a lead in. Now, this gentleman that's already down there has his nets overboard, supposedly, or will have them very soon. We may have to require this as of January 1st of next year to give him time to prepare. But in lieu of doing, letting you put them in just like the other set, and you have to change them January 1st, I'm sure you would rather know now, so when you put them in, they work. And all indications are they are. So I'm really going to be supportive of it. I understand people don't like nothing in front of their house. And, you know, my wife's a realtor. She owns a real estate company, a part owner. And one thing the real estate board tells you is you can't sell a view. You can't guarantee anything because you don't own the water. Somebody else owns it, belongs to the Commonwealth. So it may be unsightly, but I like the looks of them. And I've never been to one, but it just, you know, you get down in sunset, you see the pelicans sitting on the pole. But that's personal observation. So I'm very inclined to grant these net, but I also am inclined to make them use the modified leaders. And, you know, I think we need to pursue it for the other net seats for that, too.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Further comment, Mr. Tankard?
In the deliberation of, we need to remind ourselves of Article 6, Section 1 of the Constitution of Virginia, public trust doctrine as defined by the common law of Commonwealth, Section 1-10. The commission shall consider the effects of placement of pound net at the new location on the following. And if I tick through them, other reasonable permissible uses of state water. You know, we've heard from different folks that there are different things that happen in these areas, but at the same time, we also know that fishermen have been using these areas for generations, centuries, etc. So I don't see that as an issue for us. Marine and fishery resources of the Commonwealth. Well, as Arnie has just talked about, perhaps a modified leader would mitigate that issue. Tidal wetlands is not an issue here. Adjacent and nearby properties, the nets are far enough offshore they aren't a liability to property owners of the area. Water quality is being the next, and submerged aquatic vegetation. Both these are not issues. So in my mind, I would support a motion at the perfect time to go forward with both these pound net applications with modified leaders.
Further comment? Dr. McConaughey, then Mr. Schick.
Yeah, I hate to see any dolphin get tangled up in a net and be damaged or killed, but I'm looking at the statistics, and we end up with 5.6 interactions per year, and most of those, 3.5 of those interactions, are being tangled in twine. They're actually surviving. If the modified leader will cut that down, we can reduce that impact on, you know, less than 6 animals a year, and still coexist with commercial as well as recreational factors. So I would be in support of approving these, again, with modified leaders.
Sure.
Yes, I was just went down the list of some of the problems that were presented by the people opposing these nets, and I'd just like to run through them. Some we've already talked about, like recreational use. I do believe that they're far enough offshore and not in the channel. You know, I have a recreational marina, primarily some commercial folks, but mostly recreational. And every time somebody comes in and talks about hitting a pound net, the first question is, how much have you been drinking? So a lot of the problem is inexperience, alcohol-related. Went down to the cabin to get a to get something. So anybody who cuts across there now is already risking some problems. That's why they have channels. That goes into the with the use of safety of small vessels. As far as being a dense population, pound nets and they have the same right to put in a locality where they work as they do in other areas that are less densely populated. People on shore, just because they live in a less densely populated area, has the same rights as a person in a densely populated area. So to say I want it over in somebody else's backyard just because I got more people next to me, like I said, that doesn't make any sense either. We do have an obligation to preserve the waterways for use for all folks, and that means it's a mixed use. It's not a zoned use, and so the use will have to be able to work together. So I'm going to support these two applicants.
Further comment, Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just point out that I think it's probably inevitable if these are approved that some sort of regulatory response would be likely forthcoming and probably necessary either as a result of the take reduction team's work, or that would be necessary here at the state level to address the issue of leaders and try to mitigate the risk of entanglement. But I'm going to recuse myself from voting on items 19 and 20.
Okay. Mr. Lane?
Chairman, I'm very concerned about the proliferation of pound nets. Very sympathetic to the folks that live along that area, along the Virginia Beach, very densely populated spot. At some point, I think we're going to have to decide how many is enough. I don't think two or three more really has a huge significant effect, particularly as many as they are just a half a mile east of that. But I think at some point this body is going to have to decide how many nets is enough. How many can we stand to balance between recreation and sightseers and commercial activity? So I'm not really speaking in opposition to these three, but I think that, we might be getting close to the point where, enough is enough.
Mr. Bowden?
Mr. Swivel, will you work with them to show them the modified leader technique and stuff? I mean, they're going to need to know, and you're going to be the expert. And if you're not willing, it makes it bad. All right. I move that we approve these three pan nets, but we also require that they use modified leaders. And we probably need to move forward in the direction of requiring them on all nets east of the thing. We can't do it immediately because it's going to have to be a timed-in thing. And maybe after this another year of your experiment, you'll have even more precise information that we can move forward with.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
Second by Mr. Schick.
I have one quick question. Isn't pound nets limited entry?
Yes, it is.
So we do have a maximum number of nets allowed. That's what I thought.
I would like to hear from him if you don't mind. He had his hand up and he'd like to address something.
Well, I just wanted to clarify that there is no experiment this coming season. We our funding is over. The experiment's over.
You got it made. You got three more experimental nets.
These wouldn't be. We basically, if approved, we just put that as a regulation as part of their permit.
Regulation.
part of the permit, excuse me.
Now, I've studied this one long and hard, as I try to do all of them, and certainly, you know, I know human nature. You move into a certain location with a certain expectation that things don't change. Well, the only thing that's certain is change, and it's unfortunate that we perceive certain changes unpleasant, but I think that's what we're dealing with here today. As far as some of the concerns that have been laid out that relate to hazards to navigation and things like that, I can understand where the people are coming from, but at the same time, I think it's somewhat speculative in nature. As Mr. Gregory said, whether you drive a boat, fly an airplane, or drive a car, you have to see and avoid. There's no difference, except lengthwise, of having to avoid a vessel or avoid a pound net, as long as it's properly marked and things like that. But I want this is going to sound like I feel very strongly on both sides, as our predecessor used to say. I do understand the plight of those that go out and purchase property with an expectation that things will remain the same. I do empathize with that. But at the same time, there's only certain locations fishermen can go at this juncture. They reside in the state. They're natives of Virginia Beach, reside in the city of Virginia Beach, I presume, been there pretty much all their life, and they have just as much right, in my mind, to the enjoyment of whatever benefits are available as anyone else does. And with that, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. I'm sorry. Two abstains? Two abstentions. Yes, Mr. Lane abstained as well. Do you have another sheet for him?
Yes, sir.